This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast, and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready. I feel like Neanderthal. Staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
I gotta do better today. Gotta do better before it's too late.
Said I gotta do better, I gotta do better. I gotta pick up the pieces and master the puzzle upon us. Look the man in the mirror in the eye and be honest. Slow down time, get back in line with my chakras. Reach for the galaxy. Leave stardust for thus after me. Enter the void, fill in the cavity. Risk the reward if that's how it
has to be. I gotta do better, I gotta do better, I gotta. Yeah, on that note, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill with me, listen to my random ramblings. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. Sorry for the late episode. I did finally run out of pre-recorded content. I had this plan to do this episode. I knew I had to record this week, and just technical difficulties. Just, you know, whatever. The world, lemony snickets, whatever you want to call it. Shit conspired against me. But we doing it anyway. We getting it done. We're better late than never, but never late is better. Fuck Drake. Anyway, I'm not a Drake fan. I just don't like the fact that he just seems reluctant to rap. That's it. I felt the need to clarify. I decided to start with that one. I just found that song recently, like in the last, you know, month or so. And it just, you know, it struck a chord with me. I like that. So shouts to Ab Soul for that. Recently in my podcast life, like, so, you know, if you go back and listen to past episodes, you know, I had this thing with like being the whitest black person a lot of people know. And I'm saying, you know, I got this, I don't know. And whenever I feel like I'm being put in that box or whatever, I find myself like overcompensating to try to get out. And, you know, and I've noticed, you know, that, you know, I've been in the space where, you know, I'm Carlton if you had more white friends or more black friends and that type of shit. And I feel like I've been working too hard to make it clear that, like, that's not the only part of my persona, you know. I do believe there's Carlson in there. There's a lot of it. But that's not who I am in totality, you know what I'm saying? I got layers like an onion. But I think I've been working a little too hard. I feel like I've gotten out of pocket a little bit. So, you know, I feel like I got to do better. I got to find some balance. You know, the pendulum always seems to swing, you know, way too far in one direction or the other. And I gotta come back to the middle a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, I definitely feel like I've been out of pocket a little recently. Like, just been going extra hard, you know, whatever, pause with certain things. But we're gonna find the balance. So yeah, man. It also feels like it's been a long, long time before we've talked. And so yeah, I'm just excited to catch y'all up on everything that's been going on with me and talk to my people again. So, yeah, let's start with the Chef Elise report. Let's do it.
Out of Pepe.
It's been so long, like, I don't even know what button is what anymore. So, I had to think about that for a second. That's what the pause was. Anyway, a lot of stuff going on with Chef Elise. And a lot of it in tune with the theme of this week's episode. Like, I was recently reminded of the fact that I used to be a rapper. And back when I thought I was going to be a rapper, had it all planned out. None of this shit went as planned. But my album, the album title I had always been working with was Love and Fear. Like, I wanted to do that. Like, I feel like those are the two most powerful emotions in the human emotional spectrum, whatever. I don't know what word I was looking for. But, yes, I wanted to, like, you know, just do that compare and contrast between love and fear and, you know, and how those things motivate you to do everything you do. It was very deep thing, I thought it was, at least. So we're going to do that today. We're going to do some Love and Fear. So I don't know. I don't necessarily love this, but soccer season started. You know, so Sheffield Leeds, I think this is like her third or fourth soccer season. It must be, I'm going to say third. And I talked last season. So we go to these soccer games and, you know, this season they finally do have a goalie. I'm still not sure if we keep a score. I'm sure somebody is. They always are. But sometimes you're not supposed to. It's supposed to just be kids out there having fun. But these aren't like exciting. They're not skilled at this point. Like they're not. They're just not. You know, there's no way around that. It's no nice way to say that. They're not skilled. They don't know what they're doing. I feel for the coaches. It's got to be like herding cats. Like you're just talking to people who are looking at you and letting you know with their eyes, I'm not listening to shit you're saying right now. I'm just going to go out there. Even if I am listening, when you stop talking, I'm going to go out there and do exactly what I was doing before you started talking. But and you know that, and I know that, but you got to say it anyway, so enjoy yourself. I feel for the coaches, but these aren't fun games. It's not like, you know, you on the edge of your seat trying to, you know, wonder who's going to win and we're going to score the golden goal in extra time or whatever. I'm trying to get my soccer terminology down. Let me know how I'm doing. But so you have to find things to spice it up for you, make it entertaining. So the adults usually sit on the sideline. There's some adults that are like even at 7 years old, they are like super competitive and into these soccer games. And they're watching the kids and they're telling them, oh, you know, do this and you should have passed it. There was one exchange like on the first game between like a mom who plays soccer as an adult and her daughter who's out there. And she's one of the better players on the team because of that. And she's like, you got to pass it. And her daughter just turned to her with like the Kobe Black Mamba stare and was like, I would if somebody was there. And it just like kept going. It was like a valid point. There was nobody to pass it to, mom. Chill. But yeah, other than the people who are like that invested, the rest of us sit and we talk shit and just make fun of Tiny Ref if he's there. And, you know, just do whatever we can do to try to make it through this hour without, you know, losing our minds with boredom. But the last game I went to, we were leaving, and there's always a soccer mom dressed inappropriately. Like it just happens. They come to practice looking like they just left the club or something, or cheeks is out. It's always one. And our team in particular has one. And if you're listening to this, you know what you did. So like don't be mad at me. When it happened in my podcast content, it was going, just understand, like, if you're around me and you do some dumb shit, I'm going to talk about it. So here you are, lady. If you're listening to the show, sucks to be you. But the game is over. And, you know, parents are collecting their kids from the field. And I'm talking to my ex-wife. And his mom walks by. And she's like, did you see her tattoo? And it didn't even register me. Like, it was such a random, weird comment. And when she said it, I was like, it's one of them things I probably would just, like, smile and nod at. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know if I heard the words you said correctly. But you said some words in my direction, so let me acknowledge them and hope that it wasn't important. But she's like, did you see her tattoo? And I was just like, huh? And then I think, you know, she walked past again, and she was like, man, you know, her pants are so tight, you can see her tattoo. And so when I finally did look, it was like a mom in yoga pants or something, you know, and she was, you know, she had a lot going on. and the pants were so thin and so tight that they were stretched far enough that you could see a tattoo on her ass through the pants. Like, so it was a moment. And again, like, no diss to you. You know, I'm not angry at you at all. Like, no diss to you. Matter of fact, salute to you for bringing joy to the, you know, the people who have to attend these games. What kind of pissed me off a little bit was that I wanted to say to my ex-wife, like, why couldn't you be like this when we were married? Why couldn't we enjoy asses together? Like, you just gave me the pass to, in front of you, look at this lady's ass and look at it, like, with, give it my full attention so I can make sure I can see this tattoo through the fabric of her pants. Like, we just got to share that moment. Like, why could we never do this when we were married? Like, you know, it's just that, I don't know, that pissed me off. That's neither love nor fear. Maybe that's a part of love, or, you know, love that once was, or whatever. I don't know. But I feel like I had to tell that story. But yeah, I guess we are into the Sheffield's report. Did I press the button? I did. I'm so out of practice. My bad. Anyway, more Sheffield's. Let's go to fear. So one of my fears is that my daughter is just like me. And I think I told a story a while back where, like, we were cooking something. We were doing our you know, Chefy Lee's, you know, sort of thing. And we were making something with strawberries. And I'm telling her, like, strawberries are her favorite fruit. And I'm like, you can't eat all the strawberries, you know, because we need them for the recipe. And she's like, okay, one more day. I'm like, all right, one more. And so, you know, she eats the one more. And then I got to turn to get something, get another ingredient, whatever it is. And when I turn back, she eating another one with another one in her hand. And she just looked at me and she's like, you know, I just couldn't help it, Dad. You know, my passion got to be too much for me. It just, you know, it just took over my body. And I was, and when she said it, like, what I heard was, that's addict mentality. Like, you just couldn't stop yourself from eating another strawberry. Like, this is too soon, sweet pea. Like, don't do this to me. So I really worry about, like, my daughter being too much like me and having a lot of my bad/good habits. So we had another one of those moments, you know, during this time that we haven't spoken. My daughter, she damn near burnt her mother's house down. It's pretty much what happened. We still trying to get to, like, the crux or the details of what actually happened. I don't know. She's messing with candles and tissues, and I don't know if she was trying to put the candle out. Like, she won't. You know, since she's being real, and I'm trying to, like, talk to her, like, you know, I'm not asking you so that you can be in trouble. You're not in trouble. Whatever trouble you was going to get into has happened already. Like, this happened a week ago. I'm just trying to understand what you were trying to do so that maybe I can find a safe way for you to do it so that we don't end up in this situation again. But she don't want to talk to me about it. But yeah, she damn near burnt the house down. And it's like a burnt patch on the carpet in her room. I don't think she's been sleeping well since that, because she's just afraid. I mean, there's nothing else for her to burn in there, I don't think. But, you know, like, she just, I don't know. I think she has, like, a little mental thing going on, so we might have to get that checked out. But the funniest part about it, and I don't know where she gets this kind of stuff from, like, she's super embarrassed about what she did. So, like I said, like, she won't even talk to me about what happened. So her mom buys a little, like, small area rug or something to put over top of the burnt section in her room while they wait to get the carpet replaced. And she tells her mom, her best friend from across the street's name is Stella, and she comes over and plays with her a lot. And she's like, if Stella comes over and she asks about it, just tell her that it's private family business. I was like, what is going on that you understand the concept of private family business, or that you already using it to, like, hide your misdeeds or whatever? But yeah, she's growing up fast, and that is my biggest fear. Really, my biggest fear, and I got to have this discussion with Chad. So this, you know, alert. If you racially sensitive, something like that, like, you know what I'm saying, this might not be the moment for you. I don't know. Like, I like my racism up front, so, you know, I like to talk about it, you know. You know, the things that I deal with or that I see and the things that happen to me, I'm going to talk about it. So, you know, it's all jokes. It's all in fun. I don't feel any kind of way about people. Kind of, sort of, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, but my homie and I, my white friend Chad, that's what I'm going to start calling him, my white friend Chad. We typically exchange, you know, fairly racist text messages. It's what we do. So the other day, he sends me a picture of a little white kid in, like, sitting in a shopping cart, and I guess they're, like, a party goods store, and somebody is showing the kid a Obama mask, and the kid, like, you know, he looks frightened and scared, and, you know, and I think Chad sent it to me, like, you know, don't blame us, we were born that way, like, they just born scared of black people, and it was like, you know. And he sent it, and yeah, so and it always is that moment where you got to be like, damn, that's fucked up. But the appropriate response based on our relationship is that I come back with an equally as offensive joke. So I thought about it and I was like, you know what? It's cool. The feeling is mutual. I'm scared of white babies too. And that's a fact. That's a joke, but it's also a fact. I am deathly afraid of white babies. White babies scare the holy shit out of me. Like, just no bullshit. Like, just don't bring white babies around me. I'm not a fan. Not a fan. You know, babies are cool, cute. You know, hope you grow up to be a great person one day. But before you, I just don't bring them around me. I don't even have an age limit. They all babies until they grown. Just don't bring them around me. Don't like them. But I had a white baby, like, fear moment this past week. I took Elise to get some ice cream. And at the little ice cream spot, they had a playground. So we went, decided, you know, we're going to go play at the playground. And so, this, like I said, this little playground is like right outside the ice cream parlor. So they got in the playground a little play house that's like a shop. It's got ice cream flavors on it. And, you know, you're supposed to, you got a little window you're supposed to walk up to, place your order. You know, somebody, you know, the kids can pretend to give each other ice cream. So my daughter's playing. I'm doing the typical dad shit. Like, I'm just going to sit on the bench, you know, make sure you're somewhere that I can see you and, you know, and just like wait for screams or something like that if something goes wrong. Like, I'm not paying attention, but I'm not like not paying attention. But I'm just chilling, sitting, minding my motherfucking business. So I'm sitting right outside of this little pretend ice cream parlor in the playground. And so this little white baby, couldn't have been no older than, I want to say, 2-3 years old, like barely talking, you know, talking, but barely, but, you know, walking around and stuff, doing stuff. Little white baby. She comes and she's playing in the little ice cream thing. And her brother came over there with her. Her brother, like, he might have been like 8 or 9 or something. And so they chilling, they doing a little thing where, you know, he comes to the window. She asks him what he wants. He says he wants pizza. She grabs some leaves off the ground. She puts them on the counter. He says, thank you for the pizza. He grabs some leaves off the counter. He hands them to her and gives him, you know, gives her the money. So this little white girl takes the money from her brother, walks out of the store, and just as if it was always the plan. Like, as there was, I did not see a moment where she made the decision to do this. It was as if when she made the decision to go in there and start playing ice cream parlor or whatever she was playing, this was already a part of that game. She walks directly out of the little store, walks over to me and just, here's the money, and just drops these leaves in my hand and goes back in. And she does this like 10, 15. So it was way too many fucking times. Every time. Her brother just, same thing. Go up to the thing, you know, what do you want? Can I have some pizza? Here's your pizza. Here's your money. Walks out. Here's the money. Drops it in my hand. Over and over again. Every time, I'm getting more and more nervous. I'm just like, why is this little white girl talking to me? Where are the parents? That's always my concern. Something happened. She tripped on the way back from, you know, handing me the money. You know what I'm saying? And now, like, she's on the ground crying, and I'm the closest person to her. Like, that's, I'm not comfortable with that. Or somebody just catch the transaction at the wrong time. Does it look like I'm giving her something? What is it that she's giving me? It was driving me crazy. But it's a little girl. I'm nice. I'm a nice person. You know, every time she brings me the money, oh wow, thank you, that's a lot of money. But every time, here's the money. And then, you know, when I was having this conversation with Chad, and we were talking about like kids being born that way or whatever, like born afraid of black people or born whatever, just whatever the joke was. It was like, are white girls like just born this way? Like, she just walked out, saw the first black man she could possibly find, and just like gave me the money. Like, is that pre-programmed in there somewhere? I'm just asking because it's weird. Like, I'm telling you, she did not make a decision. She didn't come out of there, look around to find somebody to give the money to and then give it to. She came out of there as if she already knew she was coming to bring me the money. And that's all she said every time. Here's the money, and just drop it in my hand and go right back to work. Right back to work. She ain't go play some more. She went right back to work to make some more money for me. It's fucking weird. And yeah, and the whole time this is happening, I'm just like, where are the parents? Like, where are the, are they, why are her parents comfortable with her just walking up to this random black dude sitting, I shouldn't even say black dude, like that's, this random dude sitting in the park. Like you, I haven't interacted with Elise at all. So, I mean, unless you saw me walk out there with my daughter, you don't even know I got a kid. I'm just a dude in the park. Dude in the park, and your daughter's walking up to me, and here's the money over and over again. It's crazy. And then, you know, at the end, I realized they had been watching the whole time. They had been watching the whole time and just let this shit go on. Like, I wonder if they understood how uncomfortable I was, and this was funny for them. Because they, you know, as I'm leaving, they start to leave, and her parents do come up, and, you know, her dad looks at me, and he's like, you just gonna hold on to all them leaves? And it's like, nigga, you was watching me this whole motherfucking time, and you ain't stopped your look. Fuck, you know, I just, you know, I couldn't say that. I was like, no, yeah, that's a lot of money. You know, I said something stupid like that, like, you know, whatever. And then I said goodbye to the little girl. I think I called her name. It was Halius. It was very white. It was one of them type names. Here's the money. But yeah. That's one of my biggest fears, little white babies. And then on top of that, the whole time that this is happening, just, you know, I'm getting paid, this white girl is paying me. My daughter is on one of these little bridges and there's two little white boys playing with her and she's yelling, Dad, they're torturing me. And she's smiling and laughing. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, this is this how it starts? Like, is this the fuck how it starts? My little girl is being tortured by two white boys and she thinks it's the greatest time ever. Like, this is hard. I watch enough porn to know this is not this is not appropriate. I don't need you okay with this now. I don't need you okay with it ever. Like, it's fucked up. It's just this parents and stuff, especially being the father of a little girl, is just, it's too much. You know, it's too much. And it's coming at me too fast.
Pause, nigga. Pause. I said pause, nigga.
Yeah, all right. Raw, you happy? You heard it.
Pause, nigga.
I said it, all right? Anyway, it's just too much, man. It's too fucking much. You know, I'm a proud dad, but at that moment with my daughter on this, they're torturing me, Dad, like on some 50 Shades of Grey type shit. Like, it just, I felt like a failure. Complete failure. Let's see what else I got. Man, another fear, like, you're back on this, like, my daughter growing up too fast type thing. I didn't even tell my ex-wife this, her mom. So I feel some kind of way about, like, having this conversation with her through the podcast, but it felt like it would be more fun surprise for her to listen to the show and be like, what the fuck? Like, that's just, so here we are. This is what we're doing. So my daughter, God bless her heart. She loves boba tea. You know, I've told you she considers herself a huge fan of Asian culture. I'm not pushing her down that racist road. She's on that road on her own. It's not my fault. It's not my influence on her. She did this to herself. But anyway, so we go to get boba tea the other day because she loves boba tea. And all of this stuff is pause worthy. All this stuff is pause worthy. So her favorite thing to do, we get the popping boba. And it's like the little pearls. I'm going to call them pearls. I don't have to call them balls. Great. The little pearls, I still got to say, she sucks them up through the straw. And then she, like, she takes them out of her mouth and she likes to, like, play with them. This is horrible. Hold on.
Pause, nigga.
All right, anyway. So she's doing that. And at some point, she's like, Dad, what does this look like? And she's got one of these little boba pearls. And, you know, she's showing it to me. I don't know what it looks like. It looks like it's a little oddly shaping. Like, it's not spherical, you know, it's not round, but I don't really care. So, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. And she's like, it looks like the body part we don't talk about. And as soon as she said that, I noticed it looked like a little dick. Like, that's what she was trying to tell me. And so now my daughter is I'm not ready for this conversation with her. I'm not ready for this, you know, it looks like the body part we don't talk about. And this happened like 3 or 4 more times. Like, it's not like she said it, I didn't participate with it, and she let it go. No, like, she reintroduced the conversation 2 or 3 more times with other boba pearls. It looks like the body part we don't talk about. And I don't even know the right way to approach this. Like, do we need to talk about it so you're not acting like it's a secretive thing? Because I don't want this to be something hidden that you're interested in, but you ain't, you know. But I also do not want to talk to you about the body part we don't talk about. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Mom, if you're listening, like, save me. Save me. Nigga. Jesus Christ. I know her little brother, you know, it was just born. And I think she's been participating in the diaper change activities. So, you know, she may have seen some things, and these boba pearls were reminiscent of whatever it is she saw. But the fact that she already has identified it as the body part we don't talk about, like, I know she could talk about her own stuff. Like, she don't have issues talking about that. And that also makes me uncomfortable, as you can tell from me, her own stuff. But now she's on this, it looks like a body part we don't talk about. And I have to, you know, I know that this is me putting my adult sensibilities on this little kid's actions. But the fact is, she's talking about the body part we don't talk about in terms of these boba pearls and then popping them back in her mouth. It just, you know, I'm trying to do the right things. I'm trying to, these little kids, they don't come with no instruction manuals. And you're just trying not to fuck them up. Like, at this point, I'm not even trying to, like, you know, raise the next great whatever. You know, greatness would be cool. Like, I do hope that one day she could be like my retirement plan, and maybe she does get good enough at soccer or anything else where she makes enough money and she feels like she wants to take care of dad. That's on my agenda. It absolutely is. But I'm really leaning towards just, like, keeping her off the pole. Like, if I could just accomplish that, if I could just not fuck her up, you know, I've done my job. It'd be cool if, you know, I also could have a place to stay when I get, you know, too old to take care of myself. But that's secondary. If it's just, I'm just trying not to fuck her up, keep her off the pole. And it's, I didn't know I would already be here dealing with this shit. And it scares the shit out of me. Let's see. This one, I don't know if this is love or fear. I don't know what's causing this. But I've been taking myself to the movies a lot lately. Not a lot, twice. But I've been to 2 movies in the last, I don't know, month and a half, which is probably more than I went to the year prior by myself in totality, whatever. I'm going to say that a lot. I don't know. That's not the love and fear thing. It's not the love and fear thing. Me taking myself to the movies. Me taking myself out for dates. Whatever. No. I trick on myself. It's cool. But I went to see Creed 3 not too long ago. And no spoilers if you haven't seen it. I'm not getting into what the movie is. I will say this. And this is what angered me. And this is what I need to figure out. This is what I want to talk about. You know, Michael B. Jordan. I'm not here to judge your corniness or non-corniness. I think you a cool dude. I kind of wish you hadn't done that video with the actress, whatever. He did a video with, like, a white girl that was his co-star on a show that I think he was dating on the show. And they did a video. It looks fucked up. The optics are not good. Don't Google it. Anyway, neither here nor there. What bothers me is that I went to see Creed 3. This is, you know, an extension of the Rocky series. I paid money to see 2 dudes try to inflict some level of low-grade brain damage on each other. And then, like, an in-between, you know, fighting, you know, had some cool montages with some music and shit. And, you know, bonus, I get to see Tessa Thompson, which is always a good thing. That's what I pay my money to see. What I did not pay for or expect in any way, shape, form, or fashion was to have my heartstrings tugged on.
Pause, nigga.
You know, it's not at all what I went there for. And I don't know what it is right now. I don't know if it's old age. It definitely started when I found out I was having a little girl. I'm just like super sensitive. It was before that because I cried. I cried when I saw the Adam Sandler movie Big Daddy for the first time. Like that whole, like, I don't even like the kangaroo song like that. I wipe my own ass like that every fucking time gets me. I don't play that shit around me. It's kids. It's like kids and parents. I don't know if it's because of my issues with my dad or the situation between me and my mom. Like, we cool now, but we wasn't always cool, especially when I was a kid. So, yeah, I don't know if it's how I feel about my parents or my worries about how I was going to be as a parent. But, like, kids and parent shit and movies, like, fucks me up. Something terrible. And so here I am in this boxing movie, and they turned it into some family shit. And now I'm crying. I'm sitting in the dark, elbow to elbow with another strange man that I don't know. And I'm crying. And this is not what my life was supposed to be. This is not. I didn't leave the house with this as a possibility at all. I'm gonna be in a room with the lights out, crying next to another man. Like, it's not supposed to happen. I went to see fucking boxing movie. And what's worse is that, like, I wasn't sad while I was crying. I was obviously, something emotional was on the screen that was like causing the tears. But while I was physically crying, while my eyes was welling up, it wasn't a feeling of sadness. It was anger. It was like, motherfucker. It's like, what the hell is going on? Nigga, really? Are we doing this? Why is you? Come on, man. Come on, dog. Like, stop, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Put them away. Put the tears away, nigga. This is not the time nor the place. God damn it. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker's on the screen with their shirts off and there's other dudes next to you. You do not need to be crying right now. This is not the way we live. This is not who we are. Fuck with me. So I don't know. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if that's a love or fear thing. Like, it's like, I love my daughter so much. Or I love being a dad so much that when I see these stories, you know, depicted on the big screen, it fucks with me a little bit. Or if I'm afraid of, you know, what I may or may not be doing or messing something up. I don't know. I mean, they say that, you know, fear comes from either thinking you might lose something that you have or that you're going to miss out on something that you want. And I don't know which one of it. You know, am I afraid that I'm going to make the mistakes that I'm seeing people make in these movies? Am I afraid I already made them? Or am I afraid that, you know, I'm going to fuck up the relationship with my daughter? I'm going to lose, you know, what I have with her? Or that is just going to, you know, disappear at some point. You know, kids get older. They don't feel the same way about their parents. You know, I think it's cyclical. I think you go from you're a little kid and you love your parents, the mom or dad or both. And then you become like an adolescent and you think you're smarter than your parents and fuck them and all that kind of stuff. And I think you get like my age and then you have kids and then you realize, you know, how dope your parents were. And then like you love them all over again. And even you respect them and love them like even more from a place that, I don't know, is a little bit greater than what it was before. But yeah, anyway, last but not least, let's get back to love. Shout out to my homies. I got a chance. My white friend Chad got married last week last week. And I was allowed to be at the ceremony and it was very cool. This is a dude that I've never seen, like, not wear a hat, who has gone to some of the nicest restaurants in Austin in shorts and a t-shirt. Saw him put on some slacks and some hard bottom shoes, and he ain't wear a hat. And he was very much in love and happy to be marrying this woman. So shouts to them. Shouts to Chad and Stacy. I'm very, very happy for you guys. You know, I'm honored to have been a part of it. I only hope that I have been half the friend to you that you have been to me. But yeah, I know you guys are going to have a great life together. I wish you nothing but the best. But shouts to y'all. Had to shout that out real quick. But with that being said, I'm afraid our time has come to an end. And so has hoodie season. Bow. Hit the store up. what is tws.com/store. We are rolling right into the summer of the algorithm. So now coupon code algorithm, ALGORITHM. Spell check it if you need to. But yeah, that'll get you 20% off your entire order. Check out the shirts. Don't thank me, thank God. Just as for the algorithm. All of what is TWS logos, signature collection. I got shit with my face on it. Whatever it is you want, it's in there. Get some. Help me take Chef Elise to Disney World. That's the plan. And with that being said, until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, beat it out. Oh, shout out to my podcast family. I've been on a lot of shows recently. I just need to shout out these folks. I don't know when, if the shows are already out or if they're going to, you know, be released soon, but appreciate them. The Thing About Us pod, as always, I'm making a lot of appearances on the All on the Table podcast. It's a Hard Knock Life, the Psychopath podcast. I've been on Bet the House a couple times. Got to hang out with my man Styles on the Brunch Hour podcast. Big Brother Advice. Man, just, you know, if I forgot you, you know that, you know, blame it on the mind, not the heart. Been living life at breakneck speeds, it feels like, recently, with just the amount of collaboration and the work I've been doing. And I appreciate everybody who has any interest in talking to me, because I don't know why. But yeah, with that being said, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, everything you want in life is on the other side of fear. And I fucking love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. Might realize it later.
Love.